Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned. That one could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. My name is Jerry Kirk, and this is the Gathering Offering. Today is February 4th, 2010, in pagan time. In the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fourth year, the 12th month, and the third day. And today is probably one of the most important days for the beginning of the study of time. And I hope that y'all are, you know, as anticipating as I am. And I'm just a little bit nervous, to be honest with you. However, I must take care of a responsibility and a duty at always whenever I try to visit with folks. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise you and I bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son. And today, Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you from the very bottom of my heart, because there have been quite a number of individuals with eyes and ears that have been out there doing some work. They have been making donations to themselves of learning and attempting to learn more. And more importantly, Father, they have actually gone out and been donating to their brothers and sisters with eyes and ears, to those that they don't even know, and some few they know. And this I know to be true. And Father, thank you so very much for the enthusiasm that you have placed into the hearts of those with eyes and ears. Thank you again, Father. Okay. Now, I find it rather invigorating to have learned some information here today, actually. There is a good man down at freedom-school.com. First name's James. And he gave me some information today. Now, in the past, prior to the offering or the gathering offering getting going, the Freedom Dash School was having about 300 to 400 unique hits a day. Now remember, I don't have a computer, so I don't understand all these terms. But a unique hit means it's the first time hit in that month. Now, in the last couple weeks, the unique hits have gone up to over 1,000 a day. Now, that didn't come by anything that I have done. That has come strictly because there are individuals out there that have been listening and notifying other individuals, other websites, calling into wherever they're calling into, talking to their friends, their neighbors. And that's why I praise and bless the Lord, because there's individuals doing what they need to do. They're donating to help find their brothers and sisters that have eyes and ears. And also, there was really one really interesting thing as far as I'm concerned. In the last week, the Sons of Japheth, being the Russian, and the preeminent sons of Cain. The Chinese have used their spider computer technology to come to freedom-school.com and download the entire site. Now, it's amazing. They just want to do that in the last couple of weeks. So I want to tell the dragon people, being the Chinese, that have been eating their way across this country, poisoning our children, poisoning our animals, poisoning our food, supplying us with computer chips that go out at certain times, and debasing and destroying our economy. Guess what, guys? The individuals with eyes and ears, we're in the process of waking up. We're going to beat your little old skinny asses down into the ground. We're going to beat you into hamburger. Then we'll turn you over and we'll beat you some more. And then we're going to turn you over to our master. And then he's going to finish you off. And then he's going to throw you into the lake of fire. And you of Japheth and Russia, you're going to get the same exact treatment. Now, you may only go into the second level of hell, but the dragon people that are eating their way across our country and foreclosing our houses and sucking up our gold and everything else we've got, the Lord, the Master, the Christ, is going to take good care of y'all. I don't really have to do a whole lot except get stand straightly behind my Master, the Christ, and get right behind his shield and his sword and his buckle, because he is my buckler. And those of us with eyes and ears, that's what we're going to do. When our master comes back, he's going to bring 200,000 of his top-notch messengers, angels. I think they're all going to have real sharp swords. And they're going to take care of these rotten, no-good Canaanites. So, welcome, you Russian Chinese dogs, pigs. My name is Jerry Kirk. And look up my address. Look at my phone number. And if you got any guts and you want to come after me, let's do it at noontime. And let's get a couple witnesses. Don't just come at night like you chickens are, you cowards. And I speak to you right now because I know you're listening. You're cowards. You ain't got the guts to face a 60-year-old man in the daylight with witnesses. Go to hell, Russia. Go to hell, China. I put a curse on you. Okay, golly gee, I guess I got a little carried away. But I enjoy going after my opposition. I'll enjoy letting them know who my master is and who I stand behind. And I hope somehow that each of y'all can understand this. That when you give the first little inkling, and if there's one little inkling in your heart or in your mind of fear, that's what they feed on. Bring it on. My master, the Christ, has told me very clearly, he who thinks to gain his life shall lose his life. He who loses his life for my sake shall gain his life. I place the challenge out to everybody that's listening and to the entire world. Show me any verses in the Bible that more clearly state as to how one gets into the kingdom. Think about it. Look it up. I welcome my death, provided it is for the Master and because I am attempting to keep his law. Now, I certainly don't want some silly tree to fall on me or to me be out there working and accidentally cut my chain with a chainsaw and cut my leg off and bleed to death because I was stupid. That wouldn't make me too happy. But if I can give my last drop and my last breath to one of my brothers and sisters in service to my master, then I will have achieved my prayer. So, all you bad guys, help me get my prayer. Thank you, guys. Help me. And I shall rejoice when my master throws you into the lake of fire. Okay. You folks out there are the ones that are doing this. You are the ones that we are now having 1,064 new unique hits a day. It certainly isn't just one guy in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas, on the side of a mountain that's doing this. And each of y'all need to have a little bit of an attaboy. But each of y'all need to redouble and redouble your efforts. And you can do it. How many of y'all have gotten on the radio and called every single radio host on MicroFX, RBN, Genesis, First Amendment, American Voice Radio, and so forth? Call them all and tell them to start taking this course. You know, not all those guys are idiots. Some of those guys actually want to do a good job. But if they don't know about this and they're not encouraged to do this, how are they going to know what's going on? How are they going to tell their listeners what is what? Now, I'm going to give you another example. A man gave me a call a couple days ago, and I don't have a computer, as I've told everybody. And he looked up something on the computer called Wikipedia. Now, I guess that's coming at some kind of dictionary, encyclopedia, or something like that. And he said he looked up the word Hebrew. And in there, it said that Hebrew is a Canaanite language. Now, it's kind of a shame I didn't have that to put out in, you know, week two, to have that photocopy or something. Now, you see, folks, there's all kinds of references out there to identify your enemy. But you got to wake up. And you've got good brothers and sisters out there that have been deceived, as I was, you know, up until, you know, not too long ago. You know, 1992, I started waking up. And maybe you've been deceived. But doesn't it feel good when you actually get on some solid ground and you learn something? Why don't each of y'all that are listening on a computer, when this program is over, this little adventure, I hate to call it a program, why don't you look this up on Wikipedia? Why don't you see that Hebrew's Canaanite? Why don't you take and download that one piece of paper and call in on some shows and email it to them and fax it to them? So that those other hosts on these other so-called alternate radio media networks, that they can now start sharing this with their listeners. Wouldn't that be a good idea? How much would 5 minutes or so on the radio cost you? Is your time, you know, every minute of your second of your day taken up and you can't scratch up 5 minutes, maybe once a day? Do 3 or 4 a week? Help your brothers and sisters. You've been doing a good job. Redouble your efforts. You're doing a great job. Now, there is one little small thing that's happening about this that I hope you all will consider. Now, I don't sell anything. I don't charge anything. And you're not allowed to make a monetary donation to me. Freedom-school.com down in Austin, Texas. They don't charge anything either. But do you know that 2 months ago, out of 12,000 new hits a month, the average donation... Hello? Hello. This is Jerry Kirk. Can anybody hear me? Hello. Hello. Hello, this is Jerry Kirk. I'm trying to get back on the air. Can anybody hear? Hello? Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jerry Kirk. I'm trying to get back on the air. Now I'm hearing music.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jerry Kirk. I'm trying to get back on the air.
Thank you.
just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to make a connection again on the telephone. I'm hopeful that maybe we're going to get through this time. I have still not being able to pick up anything. All right, now I've got something going. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Maybe the Russians and the Chinese got a little bit ticked off. I have no real idea what happened then. But anyway, we'll try to go forward. We lost about seven, whatever it is. And, you know, the best I can do is say, golly, gee, sometimes technology doesn't work so well. And I'm going to try and recover here a little bit, and we're going to go into the study of time. And I do want to finish up and thank the individuals that have done what they can do to get the word out about this deal. Now, there's about 3 to 4 minutes before the break, as I see it, so it's going to be a little bit difficult to get into much in that time. So what I want to do is I want to take a shot at something. And I want to think, if I was possibly listening to the Lord about the study of time, I might want to say something like this. And I hope this isn't sacrilegious. Please listen. Father in heaven and our crisis experience. I hope that you'll possibly think about trying what we're going to do in the next half hour. Is try and return. And let's try and make a new start. And let's dedicate the rest of our lives to doing correctly. And let us ease some of the hurt and the pain that's in the heart of the cross. You know, if he thinks, he feels. We're made in his image. And if we feel, he feels. Except he probably feels it a lot bigger and a lot stronger. We probably have no comprehension as to how much we have hurt our master. And we ought to stop a second and think. Are we hurting ourselves as much as we're hurting him? He's got the brain. And he knows what's right. And we need to put out our due diligence. And we need to return to him. And we need to make a new start. And that's what I hope this beginning study of time will be for us. It's a new start. And a new beginning. Think about it on the first place.
Problem's just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop. Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Kerplop! Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I saved my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Past Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome back to the second half hour of the Gathering Offering. And again, I'd like to apologize for the technical things that were going on. I was calling in, I could hear a little bit, and then all of a sudden the telephone would say, you need to hang up, and they would blank me off. And so I had to keep calling to get past whatever was cutting me off and cutting the phone. So that's the way that happened. Okay, one of the nice things about putting out your information about 6 days ahead of time is that you all have the paperwork. And you can actually study this stuff, and you really don't need me too much. And I think that's pretty cool. Okay, now, chapter 7, Time, the Study of Things. Now, we start in A, and it's part 1. This is just some informational comments. And I'm sure everybody out there will tell you, golly gee, I know what time it is because I've got a timex. And how much time do you worry about? Well, how much time do you have? You may not worry about what time it is, but how much time do you have? Think of it that way. Are you running to and fro? I'm going to read a verse to you. And God established the sun as a great sign over the earth, for days and for Sabbaths, that's being appointed time, and for months and for festivals, and for years and for jubilees, and for all seasons of the year. You hear me talk about the 111th jubilee? And then I asked the question, have you ever heard of the sign calendar? Well, I've heard people talking about a solar calendar, and I've listened to them on various radio shows. And I know for a fact, Jack, they don't know what they're talking about, because no one that is studying the Father's calendar would ever call it solar. It is labeled the sign calendar. It's in the book. And there will be those who will make observations of the moon. For this one, the moon corrupts the stated time and comes out earlier each year by 10 days. And in this way, they will corrupt the year and will observe a wrong day as the day of testimony. Remember up there in the other one, it had Sabbath? No, day of testimony. And a corrupted festival day. That's your beast day. And everyone will mix holy days with unclean ones and unclean with holy. For they will err as to months and Sabbaths and festivals and jubilees. Enoch, chapter 6, verses 34 and 35. Now, have you heard about these people out there that they look at the moon and tell you, well, this is when we start our year and this is how we know, and we look at the sliver after the dark moon? Well, did that verse just kind of clarify what that is? Did you ever think that the Hebrew, Chaldee, Canaanite, that's their calendar? Ever think about that? We've already established who they are. They're the Canaanites, the Hebrews. And you're following these idiots. And they will forget all my law and all my commandments and all my judgments. And they will err in reference to new moons being months and Sabbath being appointed 7 days and festivals and jubilees and ordinances. Enoch chapter 1:4. So everybody that tells me they know everything about time, I would appreciate they would all get a hold of me, because I don't know everything about time, and I'm still working on it, and I imagine I'll be working on it for the rest of my physical life. Think about that, please. Now, I'm going to move over to part two. It's just five pages that I typed up in March of 2004. And I made up about 300 or 400 of these, and they were actually a fold-up that you could put in the mail. And, you know, I paid for them, distributed them, and, you know, a few people read them, and a few people were, you know, oh, golly, gee, this can't be. Because, see, the common knowledge is that the day either becomes, either begins at 12 midnight, or if you know, you use the Canaanite method, they say it's when the sun sets on the western horizon. I suggest to you that neither one are correct, and I can prove it. And if you'll read this and look at this as a study paper, look up the verses. Don't take my word. I may have made a typo here or there. Look it up and see if it's there. See if it's correct. Do due diligence. Now, I want to skip down to something. You know, Adam didn't have a Timex on his wrist to tell you, you know, when it was midnight, when it was 10 in the morning. He didn't have a Timex. Now, I want to read something else. Modern-day Judaism, and I'm going to read it right out. For those which do not understand Judaism, the famous Rabbi Louis Finkelstein, in his book, The Pharisees, The Sociological Background of Their Faith, states in the foreword, Judaism, Phariseeism, became medieval rabbinism, and medieval rabbinism became modern rabbinism. But throughout these changes in name, the spirit of the ancient Pharisees survived, unaltered. Still want to use that moon calendar, kid? Remember what the Lord said about the Pharisees? For ye hinder those... No, excuse me. For you shut up the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and you hinder those which will go in, for ye never enter the kingdom. The Christ said it. I didn't say it. He said they never get in. And we are only been hindered. So like a couple flies that we need to squash. Go smush, fly. We're getting back, and we're going to do good. Just be thinking positive and put in some good work. Hard work. Now, you can read this and just read it, and that's it. But you aren't going to get a whole lot. Got to look at this. The book of Enoch in chapter 71, verse 14, it makes clear to you that there are 18 parts to a scriptural day. Now, I want you to just fast forward in your mind. You remember in the Gospel of John where it says that and the Christ gave up his spirit at about the ninth hour. Okay, golly gee, you know, how'd they have 9 hours? Was that 9 o'clock in the morning? Now that seems like a short period of time for him to march him back and forth 3 times between Herod and back to the Pharisee court and get all those rich guys up there and all the dignitaries and turn them out and feed him and all this and get him dead by 9 in the morning. Now, it couldn't have been 9 at night because everything has been dead dark. Read your book. Everybody was astounded at how dark it was. So it couldn't have been that. Just let it flow into your head a second. Think about it. Now, when we go down to Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 6, it says, at evening, even, at the going down of the sun. So everybody says, well, golly gee, you know, the sun goes down behind the western horizon. You know, at, you know, when it goes down there. Well, did you ever think that the highest point the sun reaches is at its summit? And straight overhead. And when it moves 1 minute past noon, it's going down. It's actually going down then. Remember in Genesis, it says in the evening and the morning were the first day. Do you really think the Lord would have started his day out in darkness? Because if you think that, you know, the sun going below the horizon and you're getting into darkness, you're starting your day in darkness. Does that make sense? When the Christ says, He is the light. He is the life. Would you start your day in darkness? Well, how about if you started your day at 12 noon at the very brightest point of the day? You'd be starting in darkness. And then when the sun went down below the western horizon, it'd be dark. And then if your day, then the next part of your light for your day was at sunrise, you'd have some more light. So you'd have light surrounding darkness. Does that make a little bit of sense, that we want to keep the darkness corralled? Or do you want to start your day in darkness? Be blind? I don't think so. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 29. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Wow. Seems like we're trying to reach for something at noonday, but we don't know what's going on, but yet we're blind. And it's so bright outside. Isaiah 15, chapter 59, verse 10. We stumble at noonday. I wonder what we're stumbling about. Number 5, I'm on page 3. Maketh thy flock to rest at noon. Golly, let's see. Seventh appointed day, the day of rest. I wonder when we start. How about noon? Psalms 55:17. At noon will I pray. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. Now, this is one that you really got to have the book, and you got to look it up. Enoch by Lawrence from the Ethiopic. Chapter 68, verse 18. And the stroke which is given in the midday, that is noon, midday, by the offspring of the serpent. Wow! The serpent skips over. Did you know stroke means skip over? You know, you got a paddle, you're in a canoe, and you run your canoe, your paddle through the water, and you pick your paddle up and you skip the water, and you put it back in the water. That's called a stroke. So when you stroke noon, you're skipping over. And you're skipping over, and it says, by the offspring of the serpent. Golly. Wonder what Canaanites are. What did we talk about last week about the Christ saying, your father is the devil, seed of the devil, liar from the beginning. Serpent in the garden. Actually, the name was Niger, was a serpent in the original text. Now, remember, I told you a few minutes ago about getting dark. Mark, chapter 15, verses 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now, if it was 9 o'clock at night, it would have already been dead dark, wouldn't it? Wouldn't have made any sense. 6 o'clock, 2 weeks after equinox, the sun's already set. Getting dark. Wouldn't it be dead dark? You got to think about this stuff, everybody. You got to read this stuff. There's not a whole lot that I can really do for you except hit a couple of things. Now, on number 11 on this, on page 4, it says the protoevangelist, chapter 16, verses 18. Wow. I didn't put that book in there, did you, for a reference? There's other books, aren't there? Then at the hour of salutation. Now, this is one that you're probably not going to believe, and when it first happened to me the first 2 times, I couldn't believe it. I thought I'd gone crazy. I learned how to make a wall of Jerusalem. All the walls of Jerusalem, 2 of them were north-south and 2 of them were east-west. And I learned how to make a city gate. And I was out there, and I had taped a white piece of paper, and I was watching the sun's shadow, and I thought I was measuring the logarithmic progression of the shadow of the sun, and I was taking measurements every half hour. Well, then it began, by the way, I had already learned how to do this for when noon was. So when noon came, I drew right where that shadow was a straight line, and I watched it. And the shadow went backwards, just like it says in the Bible, that the sun went backwards. Now, it only moved at that time of the year, it only moved about 3/8 of an inch. And it went backwards for 40 minutes. And then it went forward for 40 minutes to the point of beginning. I literally walked around my house and my barn two different days in a row and thought I had lost my mind. And I called two other men up in my area and I said, you know, would you come over here and look at this? They looked at it the next day. And they walked around my barn and they thought they had lost their mind. And then we looked the next day and it did it again at different times of the year. It only moves about 3/16, a little harder to see depending on how far north or south the sun is. When you see this stuff, it's kind of wild. Psalms chapter 19, verses 2 through 6. Day to day, to pronounce decree. In the sun he placed his tabernacle, giant to run his course. His going forth is from the summit of heaven. Okay, highest point. And his course is to the summit thereof. So in other words, he moves from the high point to the high point. What did we read at the very beginning? God established the sun as a great sign over the earth for days and for Sabbaths. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a sun worshiper. It means that I observe the sun to determine what time it is. Now, that came out of the last part, out of the Thompson Bible. I spelled it wrong on that paper. And anyway, so move on. The Lost Gospel according to Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. Golly, and that's not in one of the books that I listed as, you know, for you guys. You'll have to maybe, you know, push me sometime. And it was noon, and darkness came over all of Judea. Pretty clear. Did you know there was a Gospel of Peter? It's only about 4.5-5 pages long. They didn't put that in the Bible, did they? Happened to be in another book. Now, here's the biggie, ladies and gentlemen. Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 19. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. Okay, the gates began to get dark. It didn't get dark all over Jerusalem. And you need to know it says gates of Jerusalem. That means they're city gates. A city gate is not like a gate that you go into your pasture that swings back and forth. It's not like a gate on the western forts out in, you know, in our country in the 1800s where, you know, they just were two swinging type doors. A city gate means that it's got a frame and on the top of it's a frame. And then it has two doors, and they swing. And when they swing open, the area below the frame of the city gate, that upright and the crossbar, that's called the gate. It's either open or closed. And that's how you make a wall of Jerusalem. And when you align that wall so that it is north-south, you can measure noon. Now, I've sent out drawings to people in the past, and, you know, pretty engineered. They don't seem to get it. When they see it, they get it. Okay? Now, when you go to Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 3, and I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. In your older Bible, it says sunrise hot. Now, is sun be hot a term that you use when the sun has gone down below the western horizon? I don't think so. Look it up in history. And speaking of history, why don't you do something pretty easy? Why don't you go back to some history books back, oh, let's say, like about, oh, 31 B.C., 0 A.D., 31 A.D., and read in their books how the Romans and the Hebrews, they had three-hour watches. Why don't you read that they had 18 hours in a day? Why don't you look into a book that I talked, or look into the subject that I quickly hit in week 3, up in navigation? Why don't you look and find out how many of the hours there are in a day? Because your navigational methods and everything was changed in the 1600s. And then prior to that time frame, there were 18 hours in a day. But that's not going to do you too good until you establish in your head that the day starts at noon. Now, we got a little slowed down because of this, that, and the other today, and You know, that's the way it was, the technical thing. I can't go too much farther on this. You can read it. You can study. Now, the last thing I want to tell you is something about next week. We're going into the Constitution. Tomorrow, there will be some pages posted on freedom-school.com. I want you to read it. Two or three of the areas, I want you to reread it. I want you to then go in and try and find anybody that has brought this type of information to you. I want you to find some lawyer that'll say, I don't know how to read. That is, Jerry Kirk doesn't know how to read. And then don't take his word, read it yourself. And we're going to find out about this country. And we're going to find out, you know, as we go down the road, an awful lot of things that are going to be brought to you in black and white. And I really hope that y'all will take a good look at one of the pages of next week where I talk, you know, it's blown up to like 130% of time. And read about what I did to Senator Connie Mack. And y'all have an opportunity coming up this fall when you have your congressional and Senate reelections to stand up and do something. And I've laid it out in great detail for you. It doesn't take a genius to read this stuff. And anybody can do it. I did it. What one man can do, another man can do. Now, I thank you all very much. We're running down towards the end of the hour, and I, you know, haven't been catching the tone. I don't know if you could hear the music that I played for 3 minutes. But I was just off a cassette tape, but I hope you could hear it fairly good. I turned it up. And read this stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and keep up the good work. You are coming to the website. You are reading. You are notifying other folks. And don't forget to go to Wikipedia and look up Hebrew. See that it says clearly, and I don't have a computer. I was just told about this a couple days ago. Canaanite language. That's what we're talking about, folks. Get off the moon calendar. Get off sunset on the western horizon. Quit thinking that your day starts at midnight and start understanding. When did they hang them? High noon. Reading your Bible. When did we always start? Go back 400 or 500 years, ladies and gentlemen, and find out when your contract ended. They didn't end at 5 p.m. They ended at noon. You had to pay the banker by 12 noon, or whoever you did. Read some history. There's hundreds of areas. Don't wait for me. Jump out there and take your own initiative. That's what you have the ability to do. But you can't do that if you're chewing bubble gum. You can do this if you dedicate the rest of your life. Not just a little bit. The rest of your life dedicated to the Christ. Dedicated to learning the Father's laws. I don't talk about spread and honey. I talk about what is necessary, what is required. And I can't make you do it. All I can do is sort of like be a little bit of a cheerleader. Maybe put out some information and save you some time. I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. I offer no blessings to those without eyes and ears. They can't hear, and the Christ says, do not cast your pearls before swine. So when the people that just refuse to do any work say, oh, well, that's not what I know, and they tune out and turn off and leave, I praise and bless the Lord. Lord, I don't want any of my few pearls that I have to be cast before swine. Get on the phone, get on the radio, and start calling this stuff in to the rest of the host, ladies, rest of the host of other radio shows. Let them become aware. Let them inform their listeners. I'm just one little old boy, little hayseed in Arkansas. Spent all my hay money for 2 years to do this. I don't have enough money to have 5 hours a week, and I don't have enough money to do much more than I'm doing. But y'all throw in 5 minutes, 5 minutes for 30,000 people that went to Freedom School. Why don't you think about considering giving Freedom School, like, you know, 50 cents, maybe a dollar, to kind of help them a little bit. They're not going to charge anybody, but you know. The average donation down there is like 0.5 cents. And, you know, they have an electric and a server bill, and this show is probably just doubled and 2.5 times their server bill. You know, if you just send them 25 cents on PayPal or 50 cents, it'd help them. And James ain't going to charge you. He'll still give it to you for free. You don't have to. Think about your conscience. Think about, you know, would it be even worth a dollar? It'd be real nice if you'd think about James down there.
The problem now, of course,
and I apologize for the technical
to
problem.
Simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime.